Welcome to Politics and Prose, the podcast focused on people and politics. Gail Dudley, the audacious advocate, is an author and activist committed to evoking an awakening that compels people and communities to move beyond the status quo. Gail has created a platform to introduce fresh voices through interviewing guests who are relevant to everyday life. Politics and Prose will also share aggregated political data and present it in a way that takes communities from being informed to taking action. New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. Now let's get into it. On this week's episode, we're pulling a portion of News in Motion from an episode back in May. Gail has Wednesday workshops each week on News in Motion, and we think this is such an important segment that we decided to share it here on Politics and Prose. Tune in as we listen to Deborah Johnson with DJ Right from the Heart as she discusses writing to your congresspeople and representatives. Also, tune in live with Gail Monday through Thursday on News in Motion at 7:25 a.m. or catch the replay wherever you listen to podcasts.
So we have an assignment today. We're going to bring on Deborah Johnson, DJ Right from the Heart. That's her podcast. She has worked in these offices, y'all. She's been on Capitol Hill. She knows what she's talking about. It's time for us to pay attention. Many of you have asked, and I've given you like some information, but y'all been saying you want a workshop. Well, one of the promises we made going into this quarter was that we were going to begin teaching these things. So bring on in Deborah Johnson, Isaiah, if you don't mind. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing this morning?
It's good to be here. You heard all this news I just gave. Headline after headline after headline.
Right.
There's a lot here. So we need to be writing in. Go back to the 9 steps that I shared, where we're talking about know their voting record, community engagement, platform, talking points, identify what they are not saying, identify their inner circle, super PAC, corporate sponsors, when they show you believe them, and what is your gut telling you. But we also need to make those phone calls or write. What do we do and how do we do this? It's just time. So I'm going to turn this over to you. As y'all know, News in Motion, this is what we do. We give the headlines and then we show you how to do it. That's our platform. That's what we're doing now. Yes. So let's get ready to hear from Deb. Deb, I know you have a lot to share with us. We have a lot to glean from you. So I am turning this Wednesday workshop over to you along with the inspirational message. So please help us, help our community. hey, everyone, if you know anyone who needs to be tuned into this, please do so. Please do so. And I hear that the video's freezing again. There's nothing I can do with that. I don't know what that's about. But please alert them now and ask them to come and join us because we're going to get some golden nuggets today. So Deborah, take it away.
All righty. Good morning. Oh my gosh, this is a timely topic. You see all the stuff that's going on right now in the world and things that Gail didn't even talk about, things that are happening in your neighborhood, things that are happening where you just need your voice to be heard. This is an important time in our history, and I'm just going to be going through a couple of steps on what you need to do when you are writing a letter to an elected official. I come from a political family. I have worked on as a page in the Ohio Senate for 3 years. I was on Capitol Hill as an LBJ intern, actually answering these letters and researching these letters. And then early in my federal career, and for most of my federal career, I was responsible for getting these letters. We got the thing that's called a congressional, and we were on the clock. The moment that letter came in, we had about 5 days to turn it around. I'm telling you this to let you know, when you write, it is powerful. People are going to respond to whatever it is that you're asking, but you got to ask, okay? And it starts with a well-written letter. Today, we're just going to talk about why you should write it, when you should write it, and then how to write it. We do not have time to go over long and drawn out ways to do that. I can do that at another time. If you are working someplace or you're in a community organization where you would like me to come out, I can do that and walk you step by step on how to advocate in writing to your elected official. But I want to start today, just in this short time that we have, just having you look at why you should write, like why you should write it, why you should write this letter to your elected official. There are a couple of reasons why you should. Sometimes you're just doing it to oppose or to oppose a proposed law, the policy, or some kind of course of action. If you see something happening and you say, no, this isn't right, this is when you write a letter. If you want to explain to an official how a particular issue affects you or your group, you need to put it in writing. If you want to express support for a proposed law, policy, or course of action, this is when you write. In any of these above cases, the letter may include information about the issue that the official may not have. This is important. You might be sitting there week after week. We hear Gail to say things that, oh my gosh, why don't elected officials know this information? They need to hear this. This is why we write, so that when you put it in writing, they have it to refer to. So you also do it to build your reputation as a thoughtful person in the eyes of the officials. Let me say that again. You might be sitting there right now with all kinds of information. You might have expertise and they don't even know who you are. When Gail would write a letter as the host of News in Motion, talk about the breadth of the information that she has, the audience that she has, how much reach that she has. When they get a letter from her, they're thinking, wait a minute, we got an audience there. Wait a minute, we need to be listening to this woman. They may contact her again to get her take on something. That's the reason why you write. And I can't say this enough. You don't want to always write when you want something. You want them to see you as somebody who's supporting them as well. When your elected official has done something right, write them to thank them for any support that they've given on an action that you are interested in. You also want to write to put them on notice that you're watching their actions, that I see you. I see you, and I want you to know that when I vote, I'm going to remember your actions on this. I just want you to know this is the reason why you write. Okay, and those are just a few. There are lots of reasons why you write. But timing is the key. When you write means everything. If the vote is tomorrow and you're just putting pen to paper, it's too late. You want to consider when this certain action is coming before the body. So if there's a key piece of legislation that's going to be in committee and they're right now thinking about it or working through it, this is when you want to write. If it's tomorrow, then you want to write an email. I talk a lot about writing by hand, writing from the heart. But when you have time against you, you want to jump right in, put together a well-crafted email and get it out. But I will tell you this, the letters that get opened are the ones that are written by hand. I don't necessarily mean that the letter inside the envelope has to be written by hand. And certainly if it's illegible or you know your handwriting is not great, don't do it. Just type it out. But I can tell you when they see that letter, because we don't get very many, when you don't get very many by hand, you want to do it. Because technology is such that thousands and thousands of letters are coming through, emails are coming through. Letters that are written by hand, letters that are mailed in, really make a difference. So when you want someone to consider an action or a policy, when there's an upcoming vote on that policy that concerns you, when you need information just before an election, you want to write a letter and you want to write it by hand. Just before the budgeting process, guys, listen to this. You might make a really good point, but if there is not money already in the budget earmarked for it, it's not going anywhere. They might say, man, I wish we had this information a long time ago. I wish we had it when we were budgeting for this. But now your great piece of information, your great suggestion is probably going to have to wait until the next budget cycle, even if it's good, if there's no money appropriated for it. So when you have a concern that's local, regional, state, or provincial, or even nationwide, you know it's coming up and they are in budget talks, this is the time to write. Okay? This is the time to write. So how do you write a public official, right? You're probably sitting there thinking, I've never done that. I haven't even written a personal letter to my child. How do I write a public official? First of all, decide on who you're writing. Is it your congressman? Is it your council person? Is it your state rep? Is it the person on your city council? Whoever that person is, get their name, their title, the address of the official you want to make a decision about the issue. Watch to make sure that their name is spelled correctly. You're not going to believe this, but when someone sees it, and do you know how that feels when somebody writes my name and they write D-E-B-R-A, I'm just cringing. And now I'm focused on that. That's not my name. They didn't do that. It's not taken as seriously as when you have their name spelled correctly. And trust me, if you don't have the proper address, it's not going to get there. And if it possibly gets there, it's going to get there too late. An incorrect name counts against you. So make sure you get it right. If you're not sure about the spelling, and sometimes they're difficult, look it up and check and recheck. So email or letter. I'm going to always tell you, if at all possible, write the letter. Handwritten letters get more attention than pre-printed materials. When you get those mass letters that come in and they all look the same, after a while, you push them aside. Oh, okay, that's that letter from, oh yeah, that's that group. They got 10,000 coming in. I'm not saying that they're not effective sometimes, but when you write a letter, actual handwritten letter, it stands out. Somebody's going to pull it up. I was that person going through the mail. I love going through the mail when I was on Capitol Hill. You pull it out, okay? And you'll know it and you'll look at it. So in our time remaining, and I know it's going quickly, I'm just going to give you 5 tips for writing an effective letter. Number one, be original. Consider writing your own original correspondence. I know many organizations, advocacy organizations, send you out a script and they say, here, use this and just sign your name. What I would tell you is use that as a start. Okay, use that as a start. But an original letter from a constituent is worth 1,000 of those pre-printed letters. If you write an original thing and they know it's coming from you, whether it's on a postcard, whether it's in a letter, people can just feel that you're being genuine and they're going to pay attention to your words. Okay, so that's number one, be brief, be original. Number two, stay brief, stay brief. The maximum length of a letter that you are sending to an official is 1 page. Trust me on this. You go on and on and on and on about your issues and how you feel. People have lost it. What are they asking for? What are they trying to say? It's going to be set aside, or the person's going to glaze over. I'm going to glaze over. When I was in the office and you see those letters and you see 15 pages, you're thinking to yourself, yeah, right. What are they trying to say? One letter, 1 page. And keep in mind that a legislative aide is going to write this letter and they're going to summarize it for the member. So whatever body you're writing to, summarize it for them. People love that. I love that. Here are my points. This is what I want you to do. It's 1, 2, 3. Those letters get forwarded. Those letters make it easy for the person who is reading them to send them forward. So number three, you're going to be brief, but now you got to state who you are and what you're writing about. So you want to identify yourself as a constituent. This is important. You want to put down, I'm a constituent. You might put down that you voted for them in the last election, if you really did vote for them in the last election. You know, but you want to keep that brief, but you want them to know, you know, who you are, but refrain from using things like as a citizen, as a taxpayer. Soon as people hear that, they start to glaze over because they want it. It almost feels like it's a threat. I'm letting you know I'm watching. No, just tell them who you are. I live at this thing. I'm in your district. Then they know this is somebody I want to pay attention to because this is someone who could vote me in or vote me out. Okay. So you want to make sure that you state who you are and you want to personalize that letter. Don't use that boilerplate language. So when you're doing that, just personalize your letter as you're letting them know who you are. Okay. Number three, I want you to personalize the relationship, personalize your relationship. Like the more you can personalize your relationship with that legislator so they feel like they know you. If you've ever met them, put it in there. I met you at the town hall meeting. This is a follow-up to our conversation. I met you on the campaign trail. Then they'll know, oh, this is somebody I've run across. Oh, this is somebody who's really informed and interested. But never, ever write an anonymous letter. It's going to go in the trash. You might say, I got stuff to say, but I don't want them knowing it's me. Well, absolutely. If you have something to say, you should be able to put your name behind it. You should personalize that and put your name on it. Anonymous letters are going to go in the trash. And so I want you to know that. The last thing I want to tell you, and that is point number five, the other one was four, is 3 points. Do not write 10 million issues in one letter. They're just trying to figure out what committee it goes to. They're trying to figure out what we do with this. When that letter comes in, they are looking at it to see, oh, okay, this is about House Bill 99. So, and that's coming up. We need to send that to the person in the committee. Something like that. So in keeping your correspondence short, consider making no more than 3 main points or less. And you may have to flesh them out. You might have to write several letters. If you've got a lot of different issues, don't put them all in one letter. If your issue is about housing in your community, then write about housing in your community. And if there's a bill coming up that's going to support housing in your community, refer to the bill. Make sure you look and refer to the bill. If you don't know the bill number, go to congress.org. Congress.org and look it up. Look up what the, if you're writing to someone for a member of Congress, write in and find out. If it's not to Congress, but it's to the city council and you're not sure, call and find out. Google it, but make sure you've referenced the right bill. And you want to put your strongest 3 points that you have. So if you have, you know, a particular piece of legislation that you're interested in, reference the legislation and then what you want them to do with that. Your 3 points should be hard-hitting, be concise. You don't have to use a lot of big words. So to be impressive, just ask for what you want. You just ask for what you want. You say, this is Senate Bill 99. I'm opposed to it. I am for it. This is how I would like you to vote on it. This is why I would like you to vote on it. This is why it's very important that it happened this time around. If you have that information, you want to make sure you put that in. How, when, why? I can't stress this enough. My very last point is be respectful. Trust me, when somebody's coming at you, whether you're at the customer service counter, whether it's in person or in a letter, and it's vulgar, you don't write, "Dear idiot, you know, I can't believe this is how you voted the last time." No. The moment somebody sees that, it's going in the trash. It's not going anywhere. Okay. Don't use profanity. You want to come off as professional as possible. You want this person that's reading it to say, oh, this is somebody I want to pay attention to. Oh, wow. This is somebody, you know, I need to hear this information from. Even if you didn't vote for this person, even if you're writing the president of the United States and you did not vote for them, you don't need to go on and on about how you didn't want them in there in the first place. And now look at what they're doing. Trust me, that's not going anywhere. What you need to say is, "Dear Mr. President, I am concerned about this particular legislation or this particular bill. I'm respectfully asking that you not sign it. This is the reason why. This is how it's affecting me and my family. You may not be aware of this, but be polite. Be polite when you write. Write that down someplace. Be polite when you write. No matter how angry you are, and if you are angry, write down your letter and take a moment, just like you would do with anything else. If you are angry when you're writing it, it's going to come through. And unfortunately, all those words are not going to be polite. Just there's no way to be able to write that and write it well when you're angry. Wait till the next day, read that letter again and decide, what is it that I'm trying to say? And what do I want? What do I want? When you're being respectful, you just want to know, what do I want? and make sure that you pass that on so that they know what it is you're asking for. This doesn't mean that you have to gush either at the person. You don't have to go on and on with compliments. It's not necessary. And actually, it comes off as insincere. Just be polite when you write. There are a couple of things that you absolutely want to make sure you do not do. Do not send a letter and forget your address. Always have a return address, whether it's an email. Even if you're writing an email, put in your return mailing address as well. First of all, so they can make sure that you live within the constituency that you're talking about. And even if you're not, you might say, I don't live in this area, but I'm concerned about this. So they'll know other people are looking at them. But if you put down that you live there and you put your address down, they'll look it up. We used to look it up to make sure, is that person really in our district? When you're trying to decide who to respond to and you have so many priorities that you're trying to put together, you just want to make sure that you do that. You also don't want to do not demand a response. I know it's tempting. And I expect, because you work for me, that you're going to respond. I need a response by, trust me, they don't care. They'll put that in the trash. What you need to do is just ask for what you want. Ask for what you want. You want to be concise. You want to make sure that you tell them who you are. You want to make sure that you proofread the letter. Oh my gosh, I can't tell you this enough. Proofread the letter. If the letter is riddled with all kinds of stuff in there, they're not going to, all kind of typos, and it doesn't even ring true. They're wondering, is this really a constituent? Make sure you read it. If you're not good at writing, let somebody else write it. I know I'm going fast. This is a lot of information. This is all that I can give you in this short period of time. But if you need to hear more about this, I'd be happy to do a workshop. I'd be happy to come out to your organization. You can reach me at DJ Write, WRITE, from the heart at Gmail. I'd be happy to chat with you about how we can go through this and give you an actual workshop on how to write a proper letter. Not only letters to your Congress people, letters to your legislative body, but any kind of letter. That's my specialty. But at the end of the day, no matter what it is that you are writing, make sure that you ask for what you want. That's really what this is all about. And that really leads us to our inspirational message. You know, and our inspirational message is this. Ask for what you want. My mother used to say, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. I know you heard that. And I grew up as the youngest of six children in one household, and we were all talkers. And I was decidedly younger. I have a sister that's 16 years older, 15 years older, 13 years older. I was decidedly younger. So when I wanted to my voice to be heard and I wanted something, I got really good at asking for what I wanted. I talked loud, clearly, and otherwise it would get lost. It would get lost in all of that. So you want to make sure that you ask for what you want. I got good at that. And I started remembering that. You know, my mom used to always say, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. A closed mouth doesn't get fed. Later in life, I was working at the headquarters for a defense agency. And I had young children, and I was traveling 50% of the time. It was a lot. It was a lot. And I began to get concerned about being away from my children so much and the wear and tear just that travel takes on you. And so one Christmas Eve, my boss called just to wish me Merry Christmas. He lived in D.C. I was in Columbus. And I said, before I even knew it, I said, hey, before you leave, you know what I really want for Christmas? And he said, no, what? I said, I want to be the deputy director of HR. Now, I knew that position didn't exist. And he said, what? I said, I'm dead serious. I know that you have other plans for me, but I need to be home with my children. It's really important. And I want that deputy position. He says, well, that didn't work well in another organization that I was with. I said, I know, but I know I can make it work. I really need that job. And in 1 month, I can't make this up, in less than a month, the following January, this was December, the next month, I was the deputy director of HR, only because I asked for what I wanted. Didn't even exist. They weren't even thinking about it. But when I put it on the radar, they thought about it. This move was the first step in a big plan that God had for me that's gotten me to right where I am right now. Matthew 7:7 says, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. We must ask so the Lord knows what we want. Actually, he already knows, but he wants us to ask him. He wants us to know that we're connected. He loves to hear our voice. He wants fellowship and communion with us. Ask him for what you want. And in Mark 10:46, that's exactly what Mark 10:46-52, I'm sorry. Jesus asked the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. And just like that, Jesus answered him and gave him his sight. Now, you know, he already knew what the blind man was going to ask, but it's important to ask. Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. God has already answered your prayers. Those answers are just sitting there waiting to be leashed out to you. But you got to ask. Ask for what you want, knowing that God is already can answer it, will answer it, wants to answer it. That means that God anticipates our necessities and in love lays the foundation for granting our needs before we ask. What do you want from the Lord? Do you need a healing? Ask. Do you need a breakthrough? Ask. Do you need courage? Ask. Do you want your life to change? Ask. Do you want your child to return to God? Ask. Whatever you want, ask God. Now, God's not a genie, and he will not always answer your prayers the way you want him to, but ask anyway. It might sound crazy to this Lord, but ask anyway. Ask for the moon. You might land in the stars, right? Understand that he's always going to do what is best for us. God does what's best for us, but he delights in giving us the desires of our heart. And I'm going to take this one step further. And I want to encourage you to write your prayers down so that you can see when you ask. Write your prayers down. Write your requests down. Write a date when you ask them. And then keep track of them when God answers. It is so wonderful when you look back on your prayers and see how many God has answered. Write your requests, make them plain. Whether you are writing your congressman or writing your prayers in your journal, ask for what you want. It's just that simple. Whatever you write this week, remember to write from the heart. Have a great week.
New episodes air on Fridays. Make sure to follow Gail on Instagram, Twitter, and post.news at Gail Dudley. And subscribe to her YouTube, www.youtube.com/Gail Dudley. Tune in to be informed. And make sure to subscribe to Politics and Prose wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss an episode.